This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Chicago! Are you ready?
Quit yelling.
The Bergstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, I mean, I just want him to have enjoy the day and play his four innings and come back feeling good and have a great day tomorrow. That's kind of what we're looking for at this point. He had a great day yesterday. He's had a number of great days in a row, and so we're in good shape there. And it's just fun for him to be able to go out and play the game in front of fans, really.
Craig Counsell on rookie third baseman Matt Shaw. The Cubs take on the Diamondbacks today in spring training action from Arizona. Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer will be on the call starting at 2. Cubs spring training games on The Score are sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions. I started to think something. And I was going to maybe save this for later in the week, but I might as well say it now.
Should I be scared? What are you?
No.
Okay.
Maybe depending on how you're wired, but I don't think you should be scared knowing you as I think I do. Is anybody else getting the feeling that this Cubs team could be even better than expected?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I'm not, like, they've got some redundant parts. They've got some possibilities here where, like, if Shaw, if he's okay, and if you pencil him in for, like, the midpoint or maybe more than his projections, and I can make fun all day of the Jed Hoyer thing about overperformance, but some years you get that.
Some and with years, a rookie, you really don't know what you're going to get.
Come on.
But even outside of Shaw, just the way they've set up this roster, and if Dansby Swanson is indeed healthy and hasn't been healthy in a year and a half,
and is okay with taking a day off every couple of weeks,
like I'm considering allowing myself to get much more excited about the Cubs than I have been yet.
Okay, tell me what your excitement level was before, and what did you see them doing?
Knowing that in this division that they would be competitive and probably the favorite in the division, but if you can be a 90-win team, if the projections have you at 90 or 91, there is a reasonable chance that if things break your way, you could be at 96 or 97.
I think that's fair.
Okay. I mean, They've got one of the best players in baseball on their team. And I'm not saying it's going to last very long after this year. But this year, for right now, I think they've put together something that is absolutely worth open-ended optimism.
I'm not trying to throw salt water on your shiny metal way of thinking.
Okay.
I'm not trying to rust it out or anything. But I don't think you can have that perspective, but now understand that there's also a yin to that yang in that they could also fall short of the 90 wins.
Oh, no, but you know I know that.
Okay.
You know I know that.
But the highlight here is the fact that you're saying, I am allowing myself to be optimistic for you.
Yeah,
I think that's a big step for you personally.
Well, no. I'm about as optimistic as the reasons are to be that. But I usually don't consider the possibilities of some overperformance here or there. But where some of these vectors are, and the fact that when you spin the wheel on a lot of these veteran relievers, if you keep building up enough arms, sometimes you get crazy years out of guys.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Two reasons why I am probably more optimistic, and I believe my optimism, what others view as optimism, is really more pragmatism. I think they're better equipped arms-wise, and as far as depth, I think they have better arms, just in general. Like, somebody's going to go down, people are going to get hurt, but I think they can answer the call for that easier in a season such as this. Also, Kyle Tucker's in a contract year. Can we just start with that? Kyle Tucker is in a contract year. That's one of the other things. And just the reasonable expectation that they will add a frontline starter or some piece that's going to make a difference between now and the trade deadline. That is a reasonable expectation. Jed Hoyer's job is on the line. That's why I am pragmatically optimistic about this team.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time they had a roster to start a season that looked like this. Probably 16. Because 15, the opening roster didn't look like this. It took them the entire 2015
to get to
bring everybody up. But for it to start a season, they're in a really good position.
I think we're asking the wrong people, and you and I, to figure this out. We should call up Martin Perez and ask him what he thinks about the Cubs roster and their ability to contend.
You don't have to say that.
Go right side.
You don't have to say that,
what?
Martin.
If he's that optimistic about his own team, does he think about a team full of players?
But don't say that. Like, it's what you say, a team leader, or I heard it discussed on the morning show today, saying he has to have that kind of confidence. Nah, you don't have to have that kind of confidence.
And if people are unfamiliar with Martin Perez and what he said, the starting pitcher for the White Sox.
It's quote, in Scott Merkin's article, right?
People think we are not contenders. Yes, it is Scott Merkin's article. But we are going to be contenders. We are here for a reason. We don't have a lot of names or superstars or just good players. But what we got, I added the good players. But what we got is what we got. And we got to go out there and compete with the players we have. It doesn't matter how many superstars you have. We don't care what people say. We just have to focus on our team and go out there and perform. Do what we have to do to win the game at the end of the night.
Ooh, there's your 2025 White Sox slogan.
What we got.
What we got is what we got, baby.
My team's on the court.
What we got is what we got.
Both teams play hard.
Loving is what I got. And remember that. Okay. But all the other stuff is great.
As a White Sox fan, my personal mantra is, if you can't be with the one you love,
love the one you're with.
Love the one you're with.
I think
I'm with the White Sox.
Steven Stills might have beaten you to that, but all Perez had to do was say all the other stuff, but not that we're going to be contenders. You're going to be a contender again for one of the worst teams in the history of baseball.
If he had just said, people think we are not contenders, but we're 0-0 like everyone else is 0-0. We are here for a reason, but skip the part.
Just leave that part out.
But we are going to be contenders, because that's a statement.
No, you're not.
I like that he believes it.
I don't think he does.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, my God. We have to bet on this. Are you crazy? If they win 46 games, I win the bet. You bet less than 46.
I saw the roster.
But I'm saying,
it would be my honor.
Under of 46 wins.
I would be happy to pay a dollar to you, to Matt Spiegel, to Leila Rahimi, all those involved.
You can't be the guy that bet the under 46 wins saying, well, it's possible Martin Perez could be correct.
Do you know why I made the bet? Because even if I lose, I win. But if the White Sox are good...
No, you don't. No one wins.
But if the White Sox are good,
they're
I might lose some money, but they exceeded expectations.
But they're not. They're still bad, though.
They could win 47 games, and you'll lose a dollar, and it was still a miserable season. I don't understand your logic.
It's better than last season.
Is that?
Yes.
I can't remember how many games they won last year.
121.
Okay. All I remember was the 121 part. I didn't feel like doing math in my head. Just,
even I can do that.
He's the math guy. That's why he's here.
That's just subtraction. He's not.
But back to Cubs math. If you're saying 96-97, whoo, that changes things. That's probably the second best record in the National League. And if you have the second best record in the National League, you know who you get to avoid?
or you don't have to avoid them. You beat them.
Well, I'm saying, but you avoid that. You get to the NLCS before you would have to see them.
Because they'll be out of pitching. They are always out of pitching.
But you're probably going to be out of... Everyone's going to be out of pitching.
Who knows?
Here's what I learned from last year's World Series. Everyone's out of pitching at the end of the year.
You get close to it.
Yeah, so...
That's why you need a lot of things to break your way, and the deadline, and having resources at the deadline, and a desire to backstop some of those areas.
And you need just luck of good health.
Yep.
Good health. That goes a long way. It is attrition because it's 162. It's not 82. It's definitely not 17. It's 162. So if the Cubs could just be healthy for the season and not have long stretches of missing one of their more important players, they're going to be good. People are going to go down on the 10-day IL with this and that, but can you just play more games than play 140-plus? If everybody plays 140-plus, you're in a good spot.
This is why I can't win. Or maybe not. Maybe you've overplayed them then. The 3-1-2, your Cub excitement scares me. Well, all right. You know, you can't win for losing sometimes. Why are you so negative? You're negative about everything. You hate everything. You take the fun out of everything. And then I say, you know what? Hey, this team could be really good. You're scaring me.
Meanwhile, 847. You see that at the top?
What?
Marshall quoting Steven Stills. I love it. Meanwhile, the Sox are going to, and this is in all caps, suck.
Yes. Yes.
They're probably not going to be the best team in their division.
Why you're soft pedaling all
this? Listen, man.
Not the best team in their division. You bet that they wouldn't win 46 games. That's where you've planted your flag.
Yeah, it's still there.
Okay.
Now I'm going for a walk away from said flag.
No,
it's still there.
But I'm No.
Weather's been better lately, Dan. I can go for a walk now.
I know it has. I've been walking. It's been nice. And then soon the fish will be back. And then you won't see me very much.
The fish didn't actually go away.
They went away from here.
Yeah, but like...
We got weights in this!
There we go!
They're still in the lake.
I know, but I'm not going to the middle of the depths of the winter lake to drink. And they're not feeding. They're dormant. Huh. It's when it starts to warm up and they go, oh, I'm hungry. And then they get hungry and then the fun starts. Then all hell breaks loose.
Hibernation.
And then you won't. Well, it's technically not hibernation.
I know it's not, but we use that for a lot of things. Like the socks. It's hibernation. Well, how that works?
And for a turtle, it's brumination. Don't reptiles bruminate?
That sounds correct.
I think it's where the turtles like, can go and breathe through their butts.
That's more knowledge than I needed, actually. Yeah. But I like knowledge, so I'll take
you were
that.
Right. Brumation.
Brumation.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Right.
Yeah.
What does
it say? Hibernation-like state that some reptiles enter when the weather gets colder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They brumate. Well,
they're cold. They're cold-blooded, so they like can't move because it's cold.
And turtles can breathe through their butts. And I cannot lie. No, they do. I didn't make that up. Look it up.
I'm just going to trust you.
You don't have to.
No, I don't feel like Googling studs, can turtles breathe through their butts.
You don't have to look that up, Studs.
Why? You're not going to get fired for it. I'll give you an indulgence from the church. I'll make sure you're allowed to type that in.
Wow.
Everything will be cool. We do have High Noon coming up in just a little bit. But hey, a big score welcome back. And thanks to a longtime partner, the Webb Auto Group, with Hyundai stores in Highland and Merrillville, Indiana, Chevy stores in Oak Lawn and Plainfield, and Ford in Highland, Indiana. Thank you to the Webbs, Mike Webb, Kelly Webb Roberts, Jackie Webb Hibner, Brian Webb, for all of their support being part of the Score team. Very, very cool stuff.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We'll build restrooms. We'll make this a place that people want to come and spend time.
Restrooms, count me in. To a certain age, that's exciting there.
Stop.
That's what I want to need to I got to hear, you know? You got to start really pitching it to me that way, and it's all going to be good. So the Bears are seemingly making a lot of noise about shovels in the ground and when they're going to be doing all this. So this is from Brad Biggs in the Tribune, where he says there was buzz during the week at the Combine that the Bears might be making progress on the stadium initiative that has seen very little progress since it began. Kevin Warren hasn't just doubled down on the idea the project will get rolling in 2025. He has tripled down, saying repeatedly he expects shovels to be in the ground this year.
I thought he said first quarter of this year. Is that...
Did he say maybe
a while ago. Maybe first quarter? Yeah, it's this month. It's this month, yes.
So. Right? So the only place it makes any sense is the Arlington Heights property the team owns. And Arlington Heights Mayor Tom Hayes told the Tribune's Robert McCoppin Thursday that, quote, while there's certainly no done deal yet, the team will submit traffic and financial studies soon. Okay. So it's got to be that. Right? So if that's the case, This is Biggs. The Bears have spent a year, and who knows how much money, focused on a lakefront project has gone nowhere. They'll do their very best to control the message. Now, this is Biggs. I can envision an email on a random Wednesday this spring announcing a news conference at 11 a.m. the next day. It would take something unexpected, in my opinion, for this to happen anywhere but Arlington Heights.
I never expected it to be anywhere but Arlington Heights. It just made too much sense from a financial, the mixed-use land thing that we always talk about, like as far as a...
And reading the room.
And also, you haven't gotten much of anything from a political standpoint. The backing, it's not there. The support is not there. I think the lesson's been learned from what we saw go down with the Chiefs, who are obviously a very successful football team, and they couldn't get what they wanted in Missouri. That's why they're talking about now building in Kansas, I believe, across the border. So none of this surprises me at all. I just think I was just like, it's a waiting game. It's a waiting game.
Well, it's also informed, from my perspective, it's been informed based on what I've heard about the White Sox and the 78 and the discussions that they have been having with the powers that be in the state and in the city, primarily with the state, where it's my understanding that the White Sox have been told, look, there might be a time to start talking about some infrastructural things and see if there is some kind of benefit here, if something needs to be built, but not until. The White Sox, as far as I understand, have been told everybody wants the Bears thing settled first. They want to just make their decision, get on with what they're doing, and then they can refocus their attention somewhere else. There's no appetite for having, you know, spinning multiple plates when it comes to working on infrastructure deals for sports teams. So that tells me that there is an understanding by people much more powerful than we that this is more likely going to end up in Arlington Heights with the Bears footing the bill.
So long story short, the White Sox have been told to get in line. The Bears thing needs to happen first before we address.
As I understand it from the from the state, the White Sox, regardless of who's going to own the team and how that's all going to be structured, that the indication has been, we'll talk about it. But there's not until the Bears thing is done and decided in their direction. They're just waiting for the Bears to figure out this is how we're going to do it, saying this leverage play failed, this leverage play failed. Then they were steered to the Michael Reese site. They haven't even, the Friends of the Parks basically have said, we're not even going to break glass in case of emergency until we feel we have to. So they haven't even engaged yet.
You know, to what end? There's nothing to address.
There's no
plan that says this is what we're doing and here's where our financial backing is coming from. We're doing this. The government's going to give us this much, you know, your taxpayer money. There was never an appetite for it as they hoped would build.
There will have to be public documentation. There's going to have to be all kinds of public hearings, and this can't be a secret. So when they decide, all right, we did everything we could do, we've got a little more certainty with the tax arrangements now, it's time, we've waited too long, we've probably lost a bunch of money in the property taxes and just paying for this empty parcel of land, let's go and let's start. At some point, the Bears are going to decide that.
I think it's going to be sooner rather than later.
It has to be. That's the point. For Kevin Warren to not be lying, it's got to be very soon. These things take a long time.
Well, best laid plans is what I would say to that. You know, not necessarily him lying, but I thought we were going to be able to get this done. It did not happen. It fell through. So now we're back to square one, a.k.a. back out to Arlington Heights, where we own the land.
I just wonder how much latitude he had. Because he clearly sat down with the McCaskies and said, look, you're going to have to let me play this out. I might be able to make it cheaper. I might be able to scare him a little bit. I might not, but you got to let me run the playbook. And so what Warren does is he goes out and he brings the, you know, the pomp and circumstance and he cues the band and he says, we are going to bring this to Chicago. Our sole focus is this. Okay, but it's not really. It never was, because everything was still going on with Arlington Heights while all the soul focus stuff was happening elsewhere. And then it's all the Michael Reese site. Let's see. And everyone's like, not going to pass security tests. And,
listen, I applaud them trying to do what they do, because that's what it's a business, right? So you're trying to get the best thing, which you feel like is for your business. at the end of the day, people are looking at this as a sports team, which it is, but it also happens to be a not just business, but big business. Billions of dollars worth of business, depending on what the next move is. So I can appreciate Kevin Warren's approach and the Chicago Bears' approach, but the reality for me has always been, A, y'all got that property in Arlington Heights. You got the tax situation figured out. Go build what you want.
Get on with it. Get on with it.
Build it all. Build the hotels. Build the everything that's going to, the shopping, the whatever it is.
Residential?
Yeah. I'm interested to see what that actually will look like.
Well, if they are able to do it right, I don't know what they call these, like Easton outside of Columbus. Do you know what Easton is? It's a mall, but it's a mall community.
Okay.
It's designed to look like a town, but it's actually a shopping mall.
Is this like, have you ever been to King of Prussia in Philly? Like that?
I've not been to King of Prussia.
Mall of America?
No, Mall of America is an actual mall.
Okay.
It's so like Cypress Creek in The Simpsons, the town that was made to help with the corporation that, what's his name, ran.
But there's a couple like this in Florida. I know there's one outside of Boca, but it's
so basically... it's like almost like strip mall-ish, but
it's not strip.
I'm trying to envision it.
It looks like a town. It's laid out with streets, and there's parking areas, but then you sort of walk through this town, and it's like a...
an old downtown?
Not necessarily old, but
I mean old, like classic downtown with shops everywhere.
But yeah, but it's all shops. And there might be a couple places with some hidden in restaurants and offices.
Yeah,
but I don't know what there's a term for these facilities. I'm not sure. But the best one I've been to is called Easton, and it's listed as a town in the Columbus suburbs, but it isn't really. And if they could do that with that Arlington Heights property and do it tastefully, and have the proper parking and make it a year-round destination. Zone,
right?
Then that
it's because it's going to be a dome and it's going to have events, concerts, anything and everything. And that's for the super suburban crowd, which people will run up to because of whatever's going on there. And being a dome is very advantageous to everything. A dome that holds how many do you think it would hold?
75.
Okay,
I think
definitely at least 70,000.
847 asking like the Glen in Glenview. A little like that, but a little more like it's really pretending to be a community where they'll do the lampposts and the...
Yeah, that's like a classic downtown. That's what I'm saying, but bigger,
the
arc bigger
lights,
scale.
That they're yes. The 773 says Easton's like streets of Woodfield on a bigger scale. But it's nicer than that. Like it's abstracted even a level beyond that. But I'm sure that there is somebody in commercial real estate that could tell me what the term is for that kind of business. That's what I think the Bears should do ideally, because that would just be a
haven.
A gold mine. I mean, it would take time, and commercial real estate isn't doing that great right now, but it would be a gold mine. You know, And this is a good point, too, from the 815, that if you're the Bears, it would make sense to actually get something signed before the economy craters. I know where you're... because there are people trying to tank the economy on purpose. And that's going to be successful at some point. Because the idea is to tank the economy and then sweep in and buy everything up. That's what this whole crypto scam is right now. That is... Boy, this is a time where we need the best crypto lawyers and reporters. We need reporters who understand crypto, because of what's going on right now is a bank heist like has never been perpetrated. But that's a good point, that if you are looking at the larger trends in the economy, and
sooner rather than later,
yeah, the Bears would be smart to maybe get something done. Because it's about to, there are people who have some nefarious ideas about
what. So you think the feces is about to hit the proverbial fan?
Well, they've told us it is. If you've been paying attention.
I have been paying attention.
They've written down what the plans are. And they've told us that that's one of the plans is to, that when they say there's going to be a little pain, be a lot. And then they'll come tell you, hey, by the way, you should try this, you should sell us this for pennies on the dollar if you can't afford food.
The economy will somehow be better at tanking than the Bulls.
Ha! I'm telling you, they're the Black Knight. I figured that's who the Bulls are. No matter what you do to them, come here, I'll bite your knees off. That they're there. They're limbless, and they're still the fighting spirit of the Bulls cannot be extinguished. They don't stop, won't stop. THT is coming for you. He's going to take your lunch money, and he might leave that finger roll a little bit short, but he'll get his own rebound.
No. I don't know if you watched the game yesterday.
I did.
Did you see the play where he? And then he, I'm just going to stay down here.
Oh, the cherry pick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Classic cherry pick.
Yeah, that's, look, you shouldn't be allowed to do that before age 25.
That's crazy that he's not even 25. He can't even rent a car without paying the extra surcharge.
That dude, crazy. He looks like he's 60.
And so meanwhile, in the same vein, you've got the Bears now who understand they're up against the clock. They really are up against the clock because building materials, the price ain't going down. It's like HOA fees. They don't go down. That's why I try to... I'm looking for a place right now. It's been a...
This guy from the 239 talking about these sort of mixed-use commercial facilities, he said, I have a name for what you're describing. It's called South Florida.
There's a lot of that
in
Florida.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
People have money. They're retired, and they're just...
I always forget where I am in Florida. Some family function or something, and I know we're always having like a nice dinner at a McCormick and Schmick's or something.
Wow.
And we're saying, you know what I mean? It's like those are the places that are in these things, and
Cheesecake Factory.
Nicer. There is
Cheesecake Factory.
You know
very
where,
nice.
You know where we went? It actually was excellent. The Restoration Hardware restaurants.
I don't think I've been to one of those.
There's like six of them. I know there's one in Easton. I think there's one in Dallas. I think there's one here. They're really good. I was very skeptical. Like, great, we're going to a hardware store for dinner. I'm sure this is going to be awesome. And it was fantastic. It was great. So there's places like that. And then there's
I like that they proved your skepticism hollow.
But then in Florida, you're sitting out, and it's all these like guys in the Lamborghinis that come rolling in. That's when you get like this parade of slow moving, loud, multi-$100,000 cars that just kind of want to swing through.
We're getting a lot of town centers from the text line.
Town center, is that what it's called?
Also, I see a master planned community.
I don't like the sound of that.
But also 847 chimes in, must have a dome, and I still say retractable, but it's not going to be retractable. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
It's too expensive for what they need and what it is and how it would be used.
And a properly constructed dome, it's not going to feel like the Superdome. You'll have natural light in there. You'll have all. If they do it properly, you'll get enough indoor-outdoor feel where a dome is going to be fine. It's not the Astrodome.
And when you say properly, you mean not like Jerry Jones up with the sun?
Not like Jerry
coming
Jones
in. So not
did.
East to west is what you're saying. North-south. End zone to end zone, north facing north-south, as opposed to east-west. That's what we learned from Jerry Jones.
But he says he did it for a reason, right? He didn't care that it blinds his team for half the game and half the season and see that he knew all this or something. He tried to explain it wasn't...
He says he knew all that.
Right, it's not like Glendale, where the White Sox and Dodgers play was set up wrong just because it was set up wrong. Like, that's facing the wrong direction. Maybe, or was it... One of the Dodgers owners' wives didn't want to sit in the sun or something like that. There's always some sort of stupid-ass reason why they do this stuff.
815 on the text line, by the way. I disagree with you, Dan Marshall. Arlington Heights is all speculation. The NFL wants the Bears to stay in Chicago, and their funding will aid this effort. I believe Kevin Warren will make this happen in Chicago one way or another.
No.
Where are they getting the money from?
Right. How much do you know? The NFL might give you a couple dollars here or there, but you're talking the
billions.
The state estimates have been $6 to $7 billion.
It's probably higher than that now.
Yeah,
because time has passed.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I don't think the NFL cares where the stadium is as long as it's bigger and better and with a dome.
And
that's what they want.
And it can host the Super Bowl, and then obviously it can host NCAA championships, and it can host anything you can come up with.
Yeah, and this idea, why would the NFL want them in Chicago? They don't really. They don't care. The NFL doesn't care.
The track record is all around us for other buildings that have been built. Have you ever been to the stadium in New England? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, in Foxborough?
Yeah.
Oh, it's forever away.
It's like...
It's impossible to get to.
I covered the game. Remember the Bears won there? Was that 3 years ago? And it took me forever to get back to civilization.
How about that, whatever it is, Santa wherever out in San Francisco?
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Santa Claus, Indiana.
I've been there, too.
And that, home with Jay Cutler.
Is that anywhere near San Francisco?
No.
No.
It's like an hour.
They don't care. The reason why they said they care is because they're just trying to ally with them to get state money so that not as much Bears money has to be spent for it. They don't care. All they care about is money.
Wait, say it again for the people in the back.
The NFL doesn't care where they play. All they care about is money.
Yeah.
And the reason the NFL was supporting the push to stay in Chicago and said they did was because they were going along with the leverage play. Where Kevin's like, hey, I gotta try this, Roger. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. I'll say whatever you need. I'm here to help. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's... They're building a stadium in Arlington Heights, and if they don't, I will be beyond shocked.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris. The Bernstein and Harris Show. Middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And the ball's in the air, tapped by Carter, controlled by Orlando. We have 10 seconds to go in regulation. 125, 123 Bulls. And Wagner has the ball stripped out of his hands by Kobe. Recovered by Wagner. Right side, three ball, no. Offensive putback, nope. Too late for Carter. Ball game over after Ben Carroll missed a three. And then the ball came into the hands of Wendell Carter Jr., but it was too late as time expired. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 125-123.
Whatever the opposite feeling is to whatever Chuck Swirsky has is what I had watching the Bulls find a way to win a game that they had sewn up as a perfectly executed loss.
Viable tank loss turns into a viable tank win, depending on how you're looking at it.
Morons do anything right. Darnell Mayberry is here to talk.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Is here to talk Chicago Bulls with us on Sports Radio 670 on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He's on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry, NBA writer for The Athletic, founder of Money Talks, which you can find at moneytalks101.substack.com. He is on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Darnell, how are you?
Never better, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Darnell. Help me with my partner, Dan, here. I'm trying to get him to get to that acceptance phase of where we are with this team and just understand that they are going to be the 10 seed. They are going to win more games than he wants them to win. and that they're not going to have great odds when it comes to getting a top four pick, let alone the number one overall pick, because the players are going to play, and Coby White feels like he has something to prove, and Josh Giddey's trying to get paid, and Zach Collins can run up and down the floor, even in games when he fouls out. I mean, they're not bad enough when you look around and see all the other teams who are really bad and are trying to be bad.
Marshall, I like Grumpy Dan.
He entertains you?
He entertains me. I love it, especially when the Bulls drive him crazy, because a lot of what they do makes no sense. They're supposed to be losing games, and Coby White just goes off and erupts against a team he probably should have been traded to. And, you know, it's just, you can't write this stuff. And for it to play out and the way that it plays out time and time again, it is entertaining, and I like when it drives Dan crazy.
Well, and I've been searching for, like, silver linings here. Does it mean that potentially a team trading for Coby White could be watching that and saying, wait a second here, this could be the guy we're looking for?
No, I doubt it. But you know, congratulations to Coby White on his career high, by the way. I at least want to acknowledge that.
Sure,
that was a heck of a performance by him.
It was.
17 the hard way, gentlemen, old school way in the fourth quarter. I mean, he only had one made three in the fourth quarter, or two made threes. I think one made free throw in the fourth quarter. So to have 17 points and to carry the Bulls down the stretch, great performance by Coby White. Well-deserved win by the Bulls.
My issue with it, Coby White's 25 years old, and this is, to me anyway, part of what silly season is in the NBA when you've got these games with teams playing each other where they don't have championship aspirations or really even playoff aspirations. Although I guess one of these teams could go to the playoffs because they're both in play-in position. And this might well be a play-in preview, if you will. It's like when Quentin Grimes went for 44 for the Sixers. He's a nice 25-year-old guard who can get hot any given night. And Coby White now, back-to-back-to-back-to-back, 25 points or more. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what can we take away from the last 19 games of the season? What can we learn from the last 19 games of the season? Or is there anything to be learned from your vantage point, Darnell?
Yeah, we were actually just asked this question over at The Athletic, and each team's biggest goal for the stretch run. And for the Bulls, I put Modest Bouzelis. Feeding Modest Bouzelis should be this team's biggest goal. It's great to see Coby White erupt on occasion, but we want to see Modest Bouzelis develop in the appropriate ways that you believe that he's actually turning into a high first-round draft pick, which the Bulls made him at 11th overall last year. So I want to see Modest get a lot more playing time. He's averaging right at 30 after the All-Star break, and so if he can continue to get 30-plus minutes, stay out of foul trouble, and really show his versatility on the court, I think this is a win for the Bulls down the stretch. That's all I'm looking at, essentially, Marshall, is Modest Bouzelis.
What's stopping Billy Donovan from saying, hey, we're going to go young and play, let's say, Julian Phillips 25 minutes a game, Dalen Terry 20 minutes a game? What's stopping that from happening?
More for Dalen Terry. More.
I understand why Dan's saying that specifically
more
from
the
tank aspect.
All the minutes for Dalen Terry.
But let's find out what they – I mean, Dalen Terry's not a first or a second-year player. Like, figure it out.
Yeah, it's up to Dalen. I mean, he's gotten opportunities to start in guys' absence, and he hadn't, you know, filled a role, and that's what Dan is alluding to. So, obviously, these guys have to perform, and Billy Donovan at this point, Marshall, he doesn't have much of a choice but to play these guys. You're seeing Julian Phillips out there. You're seeing Modest Bouzelis out there 25-plus minutes a night now. So, you know, I give Billy credit at this point. Obviously, he's playing those guys now. The guy you didn't mention at the top is Nikola Vucevic. When he comes back, I mean, how is he going to then absorb some of those minutes and some of that playing time and potential development?
Well, Zach Collins is only going to play 12 minutes because he can't stay out of foul trouble. It's not going to matter. I mean, Vucevic is going to have all the playing time he wants. But I just – with Vucevic even coming back – I told Dan, I was like, this team is actually better suited with a guy like Zach Collins just because he can run the floor the way he does to their up-tempo pace. I'm not saying he's better than Vooch or anything like that. I'm just saying for the way they want to play and claim they want to play, he looks like a better natural fit with this group of guys, whether it's Trey Jones, whether it's Kevin Herter, Josh Giddey. These guys want to run. He likes to run too. They're not getting any worse going deep. They're just hoping that their end of the bench guys, such as the Dalen Terrys and of course Dan's favorite player on the Bulls, Talen Horton Tucker, can have more of an effect on the game by getting more playing time.
Yeah, I like what Zach Collins does for this team because of his size and athletic ability. I wish he could shoot the three better.
He's not good at that.
Yeah, I wish he was. He'd be a really fantastic fit for this roster. But every time we see the Bulls with an athletic big, we see them have some success inside. When it was Daniel Gafford, Andre Drummond, you know, whenever they get some sort of big who can get up there and block shots, catch lobs, rim run, that sort of thing, that seems to fit what they have a lot more than who they've had for the last four seasons in Nikola Vucevic. So I think his time is coming to an end here. But again, give credit to Nikola Vucevic for the season he's had, and he's had to play through a lot of ups and downs here with the Bulls as well.
I liked last night for Modest Bouzelis, to get back to your priority list.
Yeah.
There are big dudes throwing themselves around last night. Like that's the kind of ball that he's going to have to learn how to play. And the fact that he was out there late because both centers fouled out in like 10 minutes and that he and Julian Phillips were in that front court, that's good. Like that's a real developmental time for him to try to hold his ground physically against people who were looking for contact, not just shying away.
Yeah, but the one thing, Dan, on that last Wendell Carter Jr. rebound, he just got shoved out of the way. And that's the type of stuff.
It's okay. That's okay. I want him to get shoved out of the way now. That's fine.
Right now.
He's saying it twofold. Because it's a wake-up call to I'm good and I'm confident. I want to be really good, but I am not strong enough. And now in the offseason, I have something to really work on.
No, I think it accomplishes a lot of things. I mean, I think if he realizes where his center of gravity has to be, where he wants to add weight, how he can deal with his best physical leverage. And if it means that somebody grabs a rebound over him, that's okay too right now.
It is up until the point Wendell Carter Jr. goes straight back up with it and ties the game and potentially, you know, goes on to win it in a game that matters. Like right now, it doesn't. We can say it doesn't matter.
Correct.
We're trying to win games. But when you're the coach and fans are wondering why this kid isn't playing, that is an example that you can easily point to and say that could have cost us that win. That's why he needs to be on the bench in these moments. So until he develops in those areas, and Dan, to your point, how is he going to develop if he doesn't get out there and you know, learn that he needs to develop in that way? So I can see both sides. But, you know, yes, to your point, he had a great experience last night going against bigger guys, and that's going to help him a lot going forward.
Okay, Darnell, let's go to the doomsday scenario because it's becoming very much more real as I watch how everything's unfolding with these teams. Now, listen carefully now. The Bulls are in the 10 seed. They've been there forever, no matter what. They just stay there, right? We just saw that they can hang with the Magic, if not beat the Magic. The Magic are reeling. There's a case to be made that the Bulls could end up in the 9 spot instead of the 10 spot. At that point, they would actually host the Magic for a play-in game. If they were to win that game, and now it's one win gets you into the playoffs, one loss gets you a lottery pick, would they actually make the hard decision of sitting people and making sure they did not get in the playoffs at that point from what you've garnered from dealing with AK, Billy Donovan, and the lot?
No, I highly, highly doubt that they would sit anyone if they had that opportunity. I think they're going full steam ahead to try to make the playoffs if that doomsday scenario arrives.
But you could see it happening, or you could see where they could beat
absolutely.
This Magic team.
Yeah, absolutely. And this team, I mean, they're right there with injuries to other teams now. The Bulls are right there capable of beating these teams on any given night. So you're not far-fetched. You're not far off. It's possible.
You can't send me into the weekend like that, Darnell. You can't. You can't have me thinking that the Bulls are saying, wait a second.
Go to the altar of the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Maybe we can get out of the lottery completely in one of the best drafts in recent memory. That's what we should do.
Next time we talk, Dan, maybe they'll be on a win streak.
Don't say that.
Well, now you're really gonna have this man up late.
I'm getting trolled now. Darnell, thank you as always. We appreciate it, man.
Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
You Thanks, too. Darnell.
That is Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic.
Dan, I'm getting you ready now so that...
I know. You've been right about a lot of things. I have to say that. Your track record on some of this
But
stuff
I'm also watching, as you said, the good. Injuries to these other teams, the trades that have been made.
And then this guy comes in this morning and is like, hey, you see the Nets were up 25-7 in that game?
27-5.
But whatever counting? It was. I'm like, yeah, but they lost!
Well, Steph Curry has something to do with that.
They figured out, wait a second, we can't sustain this.
Steph Curry also had 40 points.
Sure he did. But yeah, I know they were, but they did the right thing. Other teams are manipulating their actual playing time to make it more likely that they lose. The Bulls refuse to do it.
See, I think it would be objectively hilarious for the Bulls to get into the actual playoffs and to come in here on that Monday or whatever it would be and be so upset that they are in the playoffs.
Well,
I agree that we don't want that, but it would be so funny to be angry about a team being in the playoffs.
The funny part about it is if it's a Monday, they'd already be down 1-0 in the series.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know the schedule for the play-in tournament.
I do know the schedule for the play-in tournament, of course, because I'm me. Sorry. You okay, Dan?
No, I'm not. Because now you put that in my head. You put that out there.
But it's real.
You're going to speak it into existence.
It's real.
The Bulls actually make the playoffs to lose lottery position.
To get swept 5-0 or whatever it would be, it would feel like 5-0.
The score! Oh, my. I wonder which is the cereal for me. Excuse me. Could you tell me where I might find the Burns Ooze?
Sorry, Pops. They don't put nobodies on cereal boxes.
Oh, thank you, Shoppy. I ventured in to search for milk when the door snapped shut behind me.
Yeah, those dairy cases are death traps.
Ketchup? 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 I'm in way over my head.
We've been shopping for different things, and now that Matt Bowen has published his next group of 50, we thought, all right, awesome. This is going to open up all kinds of possibilities at every position. So then we went in, and we looked at how many centers were available outside of the top 50.
You're saying 51 through 100 did not pay off as we thought it might?
The answer is one. So, rather than just do bargain basement shopping, I think we need a reset now on how they're going to handle the center position, because we have more information. That's what we have. So, remember, the top center that was listed, that was number 26 on Bowen's top 50, but who moved up to 23rd on the top 100. So he's number 23 with a bullet, is center Drew Dahlman. So why don't we listen to what Bowen specifically said about Dahlman and his game?
Is going to be 26 going into next season. That's someone who's in the prime of their playing career. That's someone you want to target, especially on day one of free agency. You get later in free agency, day two, day three, a week into free agency, you'll see a lot of players that have 8, 9, 10 years on their resume and have had some injuries. Then that's when they usually go. So day one of free agency, if the Bears are going to make another move, I would think that the top target has to be Drew Dahlman.
You said he's best suited for the zone run game. We talked to Robert Mays of The Athletic yesterday, and he said something even more specific. He said almost exclusively old-fashioned outside zone plays, stretch, belly cut back, Shanahan tree, Alex Gibbs kind of thing. Do you concur that zone specificity is that important with him?
I think it's a foundational piece, Dan, of that offense. But I also think if you look at Ben Johnson the last couple of years in Detroit, they will run power or gap concepts in the run game also. I think it's based more on matchup. But I think the best way to say it, Dan, is what's the first thing you install, right? First day of OTAs, what are you putting in first? I'm probably going to bet it's going to be outside zone this season.
Did he talk about Ryan Kelly as well?
Okay, outside zone will be important. And maybe, again, like we're saying at the position, the fact that he's going to be in between now, whatever it's left and right and right and left, Jackson and Tooney, may mitigate some of the other physical issues he would have doing something other than outside zone.
You basically want to bring Coleman Shelton back. That's what I heard.
You know, it's not, but it's not crazy.
It's not crazy, but in listening to what they're saying, how much do you believe in Coleman Shelton based on what you saw?
That's not the question.
Well, it's a question. Because your question is how much can you dance around Coleman Shelton?
The question is how much do I believe in Ben Johnson? That's the answer to the Coleman Shelton question.
I believe in Ben Johnson to go out and get the pieces that he needs. Now, if Ben Johnson says Coleman Shelton's fine, that's one thing.
That's what I mean.
But it's hard for me to see that, but I guess I'm just looking more at the offensive line as a whole from last year, where maybe I should break up the individual parts because the line was bad, the scheme was bad, the play calling was bad, the quarterback was a rookie who was taking too many hits and pressures back there. There's a lot of things you can look at, and it's up to Ben Johnson to divvy it up and see where the blame actually lies. I know he's already addressed the Caleb Williams portion of the problem with what he's talked about that they're going to work on when he say back to basics.
Oh, he'll see it all. Because if he's telling the truth that he and Caleb are going to watch every
all
snap
the film.
And everything from the moment the huddle breaks, sung to the tune of When the Levee Breaks, are they going to have an objective opinion and say, look, that wasn't Dahlman's fault, or that was the right protection, they just didn't execute it.
You mean Shelton's fault.
Or Shelton's fault, excuse me. You're just say, or wait, that this play design was doomed from the start. Why are you in this personnel with this play design?
Well, so many people have told us that, right?
Yes. So it's. I just hope that there is that level of objectivity, and just say that yeah, he had some issues physically, but those are going to be mitigated. That he's going to be much better once I get a hold of him. Just a possibility. I'm not. Please don't misinterpret this. I'm not standing on the table for the retention of Coleman Shelton.
No, I want to make sure.
I'm not. Because immediately in our reductive listening skills, people are going to say, he wanted him back. All I want is for everything to be open-minded when it comes to how they're allocating resources right now. So number 45 on Bowen's top 50, who is now number 43 on the top 100, was center Ryan Kelly. And this is a guy who'd been with the Colts, and he believes he'd be a good fit with the Chargers. Said he only had 10 games last year due to injuries. Pass block win rate of 95.9%, sixth among centers, didn't allow a sack, plays with a physical demeanor to constantly win in the run game. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, but I just know there is a drop-off there. And also, Ryan Kelly's older. So I think the age was the biggest factor when we were having that conversation yesterday with Matt Bowen about what the difference was going to be with a Ryan Kelly, how big the drop-off was from 23 to 43 in his eyes. Kelly experienced, but this is a guy that we're talking about as far as age goes. He's already 31 years old. He'll be 32 by the time the season starts. So that's where kind of he's going to get – I don't know if he's going to get big money. I mean, he started 10 games last year. He's been good his entire career. But coming off injury, especially, you would want a younger guy.
So here's the one we unearthed in the back of the store. Kind of started walking back there a little bit. Might be on an end cap. And you go, and by the way, that's another thing that really bugs me when you're shopping. When you're at the actual shelf and you're like, it's not here. The thing I'm looking for is not here. Where is it? And then you ask, I'm like, it's on an end cap. Well, why isn't it with its friends?
As a former Winn-Dixie employee, I learned then, because when you're talking about restocking something and then we're moving all of this over here to that, when I go to the grocery store now, I pay such specific attention to the end caps.
Why?
Because that's where stuff is that you don't know, and usually stuff on sale too. So the combination of just... You might see something like during the pandemic when I saw that the bag, just bags of double stuff.
Uh-oh.
And I went home, immediately regretted my purchase, and rather than throw them away, I just ate them all in one setting. A whole bag of double stuff. And let me tell
you something. Family size?
The whole bag.
Family size.
The whole bag. Do you understand how horrible a decision that was?
That's a lot of cookies. Like, I don't think I could do that. Yeah.
I am a garbage disposal of sorts.
I don't think I could do. But we did find one in the back, and it's number 54, Josh Myers. Scan him in there, studs. Josh Myers had been with the Packers.
See, I was waiting for that.
He's impulse buying. He's getting like a
You know the discount section. The SKUs are a little messed up.
That's absolutely wrinkly. The SKU itself is a little wrinkly.
It's true. When they put the discount sticker on it, sometimes it doesn't scan because they're a little sketchy, and they got to punch it in themselves. It's absolutely true.
Which means you got to punch it in yourself because you're self checkout.
I am self checkout, but I don't. Get,
no, I got no, you.
They come over, they do that. They have to. Myers has missed just one game over the past three seasons. He had a pass block win rate of 93.5% last season. That ranked 20th among starting centers. He's a steady, solid pro with the ability to operate in both zone and gap run schemes. For teams in need of a center, Myers would be an upgrade. And entering this season, he'll only be 27.
So the age thing is one thing that jumps out. But also that last sentence in the description as written by Matt Bowen in his top 100 free agents available. For teams in need of a center, Myers would be an upgrade. Guess what? The Bears need a center.
Yes, I think so.
He's an upgrade. Well, if you want to pay Cole, you could save a lot of money just bringing back Coleman Shelton.
Could you?
I think so. I think he made less than $2 million.
I know what he made last year. But somebody else could be looking at Coleman Shelton and be like, you know, Bears a crappy offense run by an idiot. Maybe we bring him in and he's going to be good.
Just a lot of that does go on.
It does. The 815 here says, as a retail buyer, the end cap should only be special buys, opportunity buys, or secondary locations of promo goods should still find a representation in the aisle. I know that's the thing. I know I should. Is it just, we might just be sold out.
But sometimes
in the
that
aisle.
Representation in the aisle, it's there, but it's empty, so it looks
that's
like
what
it's
I mean.
Sold out. Yeah,
that's what I mean. And then as I'm walking, it happened to me with Spindrift the other day. All of my favorite flavor, the grapefruit flavor Spindrift, was out. And I'm like, damn it. How could they all be out of it? And then I turn the corner, and there's a whole stack of it sitting there in the end cap. So just kind of that's exactly what you're talking about here. And the 6-3, oh, it's Robert in Naperville. He says, forget end caps. Why are they putting up freestanding displays of what I'm looking for in random spots in the store?
Because more people see it on the end caps. More total volume of walking. People walk by the ends. They don't go up and down every aisle. But they walk past more ends than they do.
Know, yeah, they know the foot traffic down to exactly where everybody's sort of pulsing through. And that's where they want
to
put
it. It's like Pokemon Go. It's all out on the algorithm. They understand it.
Oh, where your eyes are, they know where your kids' eyes are.
The kids,
that's a real thing.
That's a real
thing. That is real. They know exactly if they're sitting in the cart where they're looking, or if they're walking at your knee where they're looking. There's all kinds of psychological games that go on in some of that stuff, and some stores are really, really good at it. And I admit to being easily victimized by it. Bought a coffee maker yesterday.
Also, quickly back to the text line, 630, this is a great setup for me. Can we please get an actual veteran QB in and not have our generational QB learn from an undrafted free agent? Funny that you mentioned that, because at 125, we will get deep into that discussion.
And I think it's going to also lead to us turning on the meatball. Did the meatball machine survive the power surge?
That's a good question.
I'm worried about we had a right when our show began today.
Hey, meatball machine.
We had a power surge in the building, apparently.
Meatball machine.
And I was worried that the meatball machine got fried.
No, it wouldn't get fried. It's plugged into a surge protector. It's all
of
good.
Of course. Of
meatball
course.
Meatball machine well protected in the Score studio.
I like that. So back to the center conversation, though. Myers being an upgrade. You suggesting perhaps Coleman Shelton's still in play, or someone else, because if you've got those rock steady guards, what's in the middle isn't as much of a concern in theory. But I don't subscribe to Dan's theory. I want a well above average center to go along with guards and tackles. I want all five of those guys to be able to block.
Make no mistake, I do too, but I also know there's a finite amount of resources that you want to dedicate to interior starting line.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I understand that, and I know that there's going to be some trade-offs here. There's going to be some push and pull. 847 says, upgrading left guard, right guard, re-sign Shelton. Honestly, don't hate it.
Well, Josh Myers, if he's affordable, I mean, he is only 27 heading into the season. That is more in the time frame. And I also want to remind people, just because they sign a guy who might be more of a gap fixture to bridge, you build bridges to get to the other side. The other side, to me, is the draft. And I think, especially with those second two picks they have in this year's draft, they can continue to address offensive line through the draft, even if they come out of free agency and say, we have starters at every position.
The 239 is asking, as we're looking for centers here, is this the kind of self-checkout where we deliberately enter the wrong code so we can get the product cheaper?
I mean, that's one way to do it.
Don't do that.
That's one way to do it, but let me tell you.
Don't do that.
They take your picture now with those cameras in the self-checkout, and they know. They know.
Yeah, you don't want to be that person.
Yeah, that's not worth going to jail for. They won't get you the first time, but I think it's after like three or four times.
I don't think they're going to throw you in jail for that, though.
No, that's how these companies, whether it's a grocery store, the Target, Walmart, when you do the self-checkout, they'll never get you for the first one or the second one. But you do it three, four, five times, they build the case. So now it's happened enough times where it's not like an accident. Because people can make accidents on the self-checkout.
Of course.
You thought you scanned something.
Of course.
You know, Studs is back there.
Are there any are there any produce codes that you know off the top of your head?
Bananas. I did when I worked at,
4011.
Okay, because I know Roma tomatoes are 4087. I guess I buy a lot of Roma tomatoes, apparently.
Is it bad that I just, if I have produce, I go through the line?
What do you mean?
I don't do the self-promo, like with the...
You can look it up by name, and you can type in, like, escarole.
Oh, I know I can. Yeah. I don't want to.
There's also a barcode to scan, too.
That's not why I'm here.
Right, and then they have to put in how many of each. Sometimes the barcode falls off.
I don't
want to
do all that work. I don't want to do any extra work.
Yeah, standing in line is work. If you get out of there faster.
I could be on my phone while I'm in line. I have my headphones in, so I can be watching the latest reel from somebody that somebody sent me in my DMs. The way I look at it is not as, I'm okay with that. I don't want to do the extra work at the grocery store. I used to work at a grocery store. Some things I just don't want to do.
I know, but you're out of there faster.
Maybe.
Definitely. You're always out of there faster. You're waiting in the line.
No, because if you scan something.
Woman with her little change purse.
No, listen.
If redeeming all the coupons.
Dan, if you're in line at the self-checkout, right, and it's like three or four deep, and then something goes off at your particular register, and now you got to wait on somebody, and that person's dealing with somebody else, now it has become a thing. I used to always go grocery shopping after work at my last job. Guess how many people are in there? Nobody. Like,
that's usually when everybody's there is after work.
Oh, after at my old job.
Oh, the old job. Yes.
So it's 11:30 at night.
That's like what I used to do it after Bulls games. Like, you know, coming back from covering a Bulls game and just be like the place is empty.
Like a ghost town.
I will tell you one thing you do not want to do. Do not go to the Mariano's on Roscoe Village at 3 o'clock.
In the afternoon?
Do not.
That's crazy. People are picking up kids from school.
No. You got Lane Tech right there.
Well, yeah. That's,
and DePaul Prep right there.
But that's my point. Kids are getting out of school, so you've got
the kids. You have the parking lots filled with people to pick their kids up from school. It is chaos. Absolute chaos. I've made that mistake before where you forget that school's back and like it's the fall and you're like, oh, yeah, I got to get the hell out of here.
Every day you confirm why me being a master pedestrian is the way to go.
Master pedestrian. Marshall, and also a hunter. That's what I like. You're not only a master pedestrian; that you're armed. That you have. You
I'm
have
a
small
semi-retired
arms.
Hunter. I don't hunt like I used to. That's not really
opportunistic.
I'm very opportunistic. Hunter. I don't have as many opportunities because I'm usually at the house. I'm at the gym, at the house, at this job, or walking from one of those places to the other.
It just means you have to be a better hunter. That's all. You just your success rate's got to be. Your hit rate's got to be higher.
Yeah, I mean, my success rate's pretty high. I'm pretty selective. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's and I don't I'm not pressed. So it's like, whatever. You don't, you're not feeling it? Like, okay, cool.
This hour is brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland and Merrillville, Indiana.
Last year, Jonah Jackson was a top 15 free agent for me. Okay, what he did in Detroit and what I thought of his tape, what I thought he would be. I can't explain what happened in Los Angeles.
Nobody can.
No. You know, he had an injury. And look, I've been there. If you miss training camp, it is a long road back. A long road back. You miss so much.
No, maybe we'll get some insight into exactly what happened and the timing of everything and why it happened. But before we do that, we've got another name of an available edge rusher.
Keep them coming.
Titans have been, I guess we're trying to trade Harold Landry III, and they are releasing him. He is 28 years old. Last 3 years, he's had 30 sacks.
I like the age and that stat. Those two things alone. Now, what about the negatives?
Well, I don't know that he, at 6'2", 252, is this a hand on the ground 40 front defensive end?
Only Dennis Allen can answer that question.
I don't know, but he did go to Boston College, too.
Connections.
So there is that connection. You know, Ryan Poles maybe has a connection, a soft spot, knows somebody who coached
him. Not just
him.
Ryan Poles, but Ben Johnson worked there, too.
Uh-huh. Harold Landry III. Keep that name top of mind, would be my guess. They just keep appearing.
It's that time of year. People are making cuts. People are trying to get their salary cap in order. And when you have guys who are going into the last year of their contract and you're making hard decisions, and also I think the availability of all these other guys who do the same thing that maybe you feel like you can have more cost control over by signing them as opposed to a guy who's been in Tennessee who's like, are we ever going to win here? Maybe I should try my luck somewhere else. I think those are real things. It's not unlike the Tevin Jenkins thing for the Bears, right? Like, Tevin Jenkins is one of the most highly regarded free agents at his position, but also the Bears are done with Tevin Jenkins, and Tevin Jenkins probably wants a change of scenery.
Well, that's in-town stupid and out-of-town stupid, and maybe there are some when somebody is doing what we're doing in another city, and they say, hey, you know, this Tevin Jenkins, I saw some highlights of him. This guy's a mauler.
They're looking at him the same way that we are optimistically looking at Jonah Jackson.
Yep, and Jonah Jackson had a bad year last year. He just did. He had a bad year, and then they used him out of position. So when I said when we were talking to Bowen that nobody really knows what happened, our guy Robert Mays always has a thoughtful, informed opinion about such things. And this is what he said on the Take the North podcast.
I'm sure to Bears fans from the outside, it looks a little bit troubling what happened last year, where he signs for a big money deal. He gets hurt, which has been a consistent issue. And then even when he got back healthy, he was effectively benched. I think that word is a little bit strong when you're looking at the particulars of the situation, right? So he comes in and the Rams have this idea of moving Steve Avila to center at one point last offseason. Jonah Jackson was going to play left guard for them. They re-signed Kevin Dotson. Well, then they got to a point where they were like, well, maybe Jonah Jackson should play center and Steve should play left guard. And then Jonah Jackson gets hurt and then Bo Limmer steps in and they actually like him at center. And so it just never really sorted itself out. And what I'll say about Sean and what I'll say about that team out there, they've been very successful for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
They are impatient. They will get infatuated with an idea, and the moment that that idea stops working for like 10 seconds, they'll be fine moving on from that idea. And I think that's partially because of how Sean thinks. And I think it's partially because ownership allows them to do it, right? I mean, they'll eat dead money on guys consistently over and over and over again, because that's just how the front office operates. Use the word aggressive, referring to the Bears week. It doesn't get much more aggressive than how the Rams have been over the last few years. Like, they will chase things with an intensity that very few teams in the NFL are willing to do it. But every once in a while, when those things don't work out immediately, they'll throw them in the trash can and move on. And I think that's what happened with Jonah Jackson. So some people from the outside are going to look at the benched thing and freak out. I think there are a lot of layers and subtleties to why that happened in LA.
Now, that's really cool. That's really just about how they think and how they work. Hey, I know, let's try this. How's it going? Bad. All right, well, let's try something else.
But see, here's why I'm okay with it, that approach in general. Because, number one, if you think long, you think wrong, right? People make mistakes every day. Everyone makes mistakes. How quickly can you realize you made a mistake and pivot? So we always talk about with, let's say, Velus Jones Jr., perfect example, right? Everybody's familiar with Velus Jones Jr., how he just kept persisting on the roster, persisting in his usage, right? We all sighed when he fumbled the kickoff, right? At the beginning of the season, we knew, okay, he's one step closer to out of town. If that had been Velus Jones Jr. on a Sean McVay-led team in that organization, he wouldn't have lasted as long as he did because they would have pivoted. Now, you could argue, well, they wouldn't have made that big of a mistake anyway. But that's not the point. The point is, if something's not working, can you find a solution and how quickly can you pivot?
And do you have the luxury, like Robert pointed out, do you have the luxury of resources? Do you have bosses that will let you? It's like somebody takes one bite of a chicken wing and you know, throws it away.
Yeah, but if you're Sean McVay, your bosses think you're the smartest one in the room.
Well, that kind of trust, that investment in resources to allow somebody to do that, and I know it sounds, I don't want to use it, it's not necessarily reckless, but to allow somebody to say, well, have you really tried to make it work? I'm not interested. We did what we needed to do. We saw what we needed to see. Like, how many times have they been wrong? That's what I'd like to know. Like, what's the opposite argument? How many times did they say, well, the rash decision-making of Sean McVay resulted in them not waiting long enough for something to work?
Well, it's always easier to criticize from the outside looking in, right?
And after the fact.
Yeah, so they've probably been wrong a lot, to be honest, because in sports, everyone's wrong a lot. But it's you can only be wrong on certain things. Some things you can't be wrong on.
Yeah, and I guess part of me, I get allergic to the something that sounds like this tech bro kind of mentality. It's just like move fast, break stuff, we're geniuses, everybody else is behind us, we're ahead, therefore, you know, we're brilliant no matter what we do is brilliant, and we're disruptors in the space.
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying it's all relative. Because relative to all the other teams in the NFL, how many Super Bowls has Sean McVay led his team to, and how many have they won? And if you look back through the most recent playoffs, who was the closest team to actually beating the Eagles? Mm-hmm. Sean McVay and the Rams.
Oh, this is not necessarily a commentary that I think anything's wrong with Sean McVay.
No, but I understand your overall approach. I think that is the factor, though, which allows you to say, okay, they are rash, and they do things and break things. All of that is true, but if it works, it works. From a foundational philosophical process standpoint, mm-hmm. And if everybody in the organization understands that, hey, this is what it is when you come to work with or for Sean McVay, then it's going to work smoothly. It's when there's pushback, whether it's from above, which obviously is the biggest pushback you can get,
they say, look, how
or
many,
from below.
How can you know that this investment that we decided on isn't going to pan out? All right, I just know. We know. He's gone.
And he's won. It's like when the Bears came to Matt Eberflus trying to get some change, right? And some people would say, well, what have these players ever won?
I don't know. What's up yours?
What has Matt Eberflus ever won? What are we talking about? I can't lay anything on you and say, here's who I can hang my hat on. You were a defensive coordinator who was good, but I couldn't get it done end of game.
Yesterday at this time, I heard coaches are infallible.
I didn't hear they were infallible. I was just like, the coach is the superior person. The coach is in charge. It's up to the coach. And the coach has a boss, too, and that boss will deal with the coach at the end of the season or maybe end season. But until then, you listen to the coach. You respect authority, even when authority is wrong, because someday they'll get their comeuppance.
What if authority is stupid?
Well, then the person in charge of that authority will take care of them at the appropriate time, as they did after that Thanksgiving game. But that's what I heard
yesterday.
That's
also trusting the structure. Everything's looking of authority.
Where it is, nah, but in terms of good.
They had bad structure. They had bad structure. Uh-huh. We can say that unequivocally. They had bad structure.
The Bears also added a guard in Joe Tooney, and as part of our cohabitation reports, we don't call them that, but we like to reach out to people who know the people the Bears get, and one of those was longtime NFL offensive mind Matt Canada, and he spoke to the afternoon show of Spiegel and Holmes about what we need to know about Tooney.
Probably one of the best guys I've ever coached as far as a person. You know, obviously you got all his stats, what he's done in the league. Won Super Bowls at two places. I'm pretty sure he won the MVP for the Chiefs this year, which you look at their roster and the money they've paid shows how much his teammates thought of him. So just a real quality dude and a really, really good football player. So certainly it would be an exciting time for you guys in Chicago. I mean, obviously, experience speaks volumes in anything in life. And he knows how to win. You know, I think his versatility has been proven, and everybody knows how special he is to be able to play, you know, inside and outside on the offensive line with, again, two Super Bowl championship teams. And so, I think it's going to be a great deal. I understand why the Bears wanted to go get him. I know it had to be hard for the Chiefs to let him go because he was so important to them. But I think in your situation in Chicago with what you're trying to do and rebuild, you got a new staff, you got some good guys on the staff that I know. I think it's going to be a real good deal for everybody involved.
No surprises.
The Matt Canada Show.
Look, the Tooney thing, age notwithstanding, I don't really care about the age because the track record is so strong and you know what you're getting. And we know what we've heard about him not only as a player but also in the locker room and a culture builder, if not a culture leader. They need that right now. I think they are starving for as much structure and leadership as possible from guys who know how to get it done. Clearly, Tooney's a guy who knows how to get it done.
And where he's not going to be the rah-rah type leader like Nick Allegretti was talking about, that he's going to be an example setter, great at going to dinner. He's awesome at going out to dinner. We know that.
But is he great in the room?
Is he good at being in a room?
Being in a
yes.
room. I thought it was being in the room. Is it the or A?
I think A. I think the way Weederer said it, he said he's very good at being in a room or good at being in a room.
I'm not good at being in a room if it's like a panic room. I need to have windows in my room.
Well, nonsense. All you have to do is exist in the room.
Right. If
though.
If you have enough water and food, you can.
I
you
need
can
sunshine.
How can one exist harder?
It's not talking about
TV in the room.
You're not talking about existing in a good state of mind.
No,
you're just existing
being.
In the room.
I'm saying that is a very broad definition. He's good at being. Like, just being alive in a room.
He didn't say alive. He just said being in a room. You can be a dead body and be in a room. Like, what are you talking about? If you want to branch out.
Well, then we're talking about, does it have to be sentient, or is it just a body in a room?
Spirit? Are we in the Matrix? I mean,
I don't know. But in the Matrix, you're not in the room. In the Matrix, you're in the thing with the tubes, and you're projected into the room.
Okay, that's fair.
Right?
That's fair.
I think
it's not.
So in that sense,
room.
are you existing in the room of the Matrix, or are you just existing in your little
well,
pod?
Are you taking the blue pill or the red pill? Let's be honest. That's what that comes back to. But no, I like Tooney a lot. I just that move to me, I like that better than Jackson because it's a little bit more. I know what I'm getting with Joe Tooney. With Jonah, I don't know. I'm hoping.
Either.
But I don't know.
I don't either. But studs, I am going to. I don't know how to work any of those machines in there. But I'm going to talk to Chris Tannehill, and I'm going to have him.
He's going to teach you
that. No, he's going to take that out.
You don't want to learn?
No, I'll just put it back in there.
Ray taught me how to use the one in the update studio. I can get that set up for transition like nobody's business. Now, man, I can run that thing like a humdinger. You better believe I can get back there and push buttons. You should see me work.
If we still did studio updates, you could do it, right?
I don't know if I can turn.
Turn your mic on. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
We're not going to do any. We won't do any sound bites. So just rip and read, baby.
When they swapped that board out, that was rip and read in the day was
back in the day,
that was a thing.
But actually, you know what used to happen at the score was, and I learned this when I started out doing updates, is that when I would leave after an update shift, like the evening show, the producer would go and grab the scripts that I wrote, that I spent time writing.
Aww.
He would take them out of the garbage and use them.
There were no updates to what you wrote?
Well, there might be in the scores and stuff, but like the stories of the day, this is pre-internet. You know, things didn't move
that.
As quickly.
I love that for you. That means that your work was good enough that he felt like he could use your work also.
That's some BS is what that is.
No, peak laziness right there. You're actually going into the trash.
To dig, because I heard it driving, I'm like, wait a second. I wrote that. So.
Oh, you're like listening to it on your drive home.
Yeah. So what did I do?
you made up some terrible scripts. Some fake script. You're the guy that if someone stole your, if your lunch got stolen 2 or 3 days in a week, you'd be like, all right, I got something for you. And you'd like, maybe not poison, but maybe a laxative or something in the.
I didn't want to get the station in trouble by actually doing false stories.
So what'd you do?
I just put in very, very, very difficult to pronounce words. But so
you went into your Duke bag.
Yeah, not even in my regular script. Before I left, I wrote up a new script.
So it wasn't the stuff you were actually reading.
No. I was doing like pumping it up to 11 and then putting that in the garbage.
The petty knows no bounds.
I would put that and I would actually put like little marginal like pencil scratchings on it
to make
it
11.
And I would kind of like crumple an edge on it to make it look like it's been shuffled around all day.
So how long did that last?
Not long. Because it was and then I would run out to the car.
Just so you could listen.
Yep.
Did he really try to read them?
And then I'm putting, like, I think one story about the Cubs had the words both heuristic and hegemony in it. I just started.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the terminology.
Heuristic, not so much, but hegemony could flow in a date.
Yeah.
So much fun. No, but did he ever address you about it?
Nope, it just stopped.
It just stopped.
It stopped real quick.
Some people would say you're a bad teammate.
I wasn't familiar with hegemon until you brought it up on the air here. Then I had to look that up, and it made me think you had the Pokemon story earlier in the week. It always makes me think of Pokemon. Hegemon! Gotta catch them all.
Skip Carey, who's Pappy, who's legendary Harry, and whose son is Skip, died in his sleep last night. Make that his son Chip.
No, those scripts we burned. That was... the best part is...
On a pyre?
George's scripts were fine. He wrote that. If you actually read that, I guarantee you it makes sense. I guarantee you, like, as written, it was probably just pristine. That wasn't the problem. Just sometimes things would get wires crossed. It's okay.
You're petty, though. I knew you were a little bit petty. I didn't know you were that petty.
It was so much fun. Like, okay. All
right. How old were you when you were doing this?
25.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
What do you think you are?
That's a perfect drop right there.
Is that what you yelled at the radio in your car, Dan?
Yeah, when he heard it on the report, he's like, he's driving. He's like, who do you think you are? I am.
Hey, I don't know what you're doing with those updates. I can't understand any of those words.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.